just for leads us here. Oftentimes, there are about three or four things that I want to say, and then I don't say those things for your protection. Now could be one of those times, but I think I'm supposed to say this. So as part of our elder meeting this week, we were kind of talking about this message and just the past 2 weeks. And I know that the students are in here, but I'm going to say it anyway. Have you ever just had like 2 weeks of suck? Or maybe more than 2 weeks, right? It's just kind of been that. And I've talked about before, just there'll be times and seasons and stuff where, you know, life will take a dip like that for me. And I don't know if it was just being sick, if it was just all that stuff combined. My wife had a fight with the ground and she lost really bad. There's just a lot of stuff that happened like over the course of the couple of weeks. And then being sick on top of all of that was like really, really hard. And so I was telling those guys, I'm supposed to stand up in front of everybody this weekend and talk about facing fear and uncertainty in this world and how I feel so unqualified to do that right now, you know? And they're like, well, maybe you should talk about that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I started working on this and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't, you know? Because I didn't know where that was going to go. And so what I've reached is a compromise, I think, between those two things. The first thing I want to share with you, and I hadn't really planned on sharing it, but it's this quote from Mark Twain that came across this morning. I felt like it was timely. He says, "Let us endeavor so to live that when we come to die, even the undertaker will be sorry." I thought that was really, really good. And so we're continuing this series on fear today. And one of the big things that I think we all fear, especially if you're a parent in this room, is either something happening to you or something happening to someone that you love. And so we go to great lengths to avoid pain in our lives, don't we? Right? It's like, I'm going to go to the dentist, but I want to go to the one that's going to knock me out, right? So that I don't have any idea of what's happening, even though there's even a risk involved with that. But regardless, right, we want to avoid whatever the pain is, and so we work really hard to do that. And so looking at the Bible this week, we can search Scripture, right, and we want to find, okay, I want to find the Scripture that tells me that nothing bad is ever going to happen to me and that nothing bad is ever going to happen to anyone I love. And the problem with that Scripture is it doesn't exist. I'm done. Let's pray. No, I'm just kidding. But that would be a real bummer, wouldn't it? But here's the thing. We know that God's good, because Scripture does tell us that. We know that God's word is good. We know that it's holy. We know that we can trust his word. We know that it's his story. It's his revelation of who he is to us as humanity and the things that we can learn from that. He's mysterious, right? But he's also righteous and just, and he's our creator. But God does not promise us, unfortunately, a pain-free existence. You're like, I thought this was supposed to be uplifting. Let's just keep going. In John chapter 14, Jesus, he's just a few hours away from the most intense pain and anguish of his life that maybe any person has ever suffered. It says that he's in the garden and that he actually later he will sweat drops of blood because he's so intensely like praying and in anguish as he wrestles with his destiny. And so that's only the beginning of what he will endure. But I want to set that context because of what he says in the midst of that. I think he knew. I think he knew what was about to go down. And so here's what he says to his disciples. He challenges them and us to something that I think is it's unthinkable, really, if I can get this to work here. I've got a backup. Oh, and I've also got Josh, who's the backup to the backup. So Jesus says this in the context, remember, of about to endure really, really difficult things. John 14, 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." He says that to his disciples in the context of what he's about to go through. Friends, our hearts are troubled, are they not? I'll admit it. Our hearts are troubled. And I could parade a lot of statistics out here right now and show you stress and anxiety and what it's doing to our world, but I don't need to do that, do I? Because we know that those things have our world in their grip. Anxiety, fear, uncertainty, all that stuff. Many people fear death, and that's what John talked about last week, but I think many more people fear actually living, continuing to live. I appreciate John doing that last week on short notice, and for Matt as well, stepping up to lead our community when I was sick. That first message that John shared, he called it Don't Fear the Reaper, and apparently there was some disappointment that he didn't actually sing the song to you guys. I'm not going to do that, but he tackled one of our biggest fears, and that's the fear of death. And the words of Jesus in John 11, 25 and 26 are our key to overcoming our fear of death. Jesus says this. He's like, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And so trust in Jesus doesn't just give us hope for dying. What I want you to know today is that trust in Jesus gives us hope for living too, right? But what if living is like the thing that we're most afraid of, or especially living some of the hard things that Jesus calls us to do or stepping out, whether it's in our daily lives or every day, like little things, trying to make a change that we've been trying to make forever or whatever it is, whether it's a habit we want to break or picking up a new habit like digging into the word or praying on a regular basis, or maybe it's the big thing like God's calling you to do this ministry thing and you've been saying no for a long time, or he wants you to step out on this adventure of like a missions trip and you're saying no. We have these small things and we have these big things in this life that Jesus calls us to, but what if that's the fear? Like, what if we fear living in that way? And then the bigger question in all this is, why does all of that stuff really even matter to us? Well, here's why I think it matters. Fear blocks everything that God wants to do in your life. If there's something good that God's calling you to, fear is in the way of that. If you're fearful about stepping out into whatever it is, it's going to prevent you from being the person that God wants you to be. And so this series is, again, all about confronting fear. I could have just called it fear, but we're confronting fear, which means addressing it head on and actually taking it down. That's the goal, right? We don't want to be trapped by fear or living in a world of fear, having it be the thing that dictates how we live our lives. And so again, back to that verse in John 14, 27, Jesus tells his disciples not to let their hearts be troubled. And as I was thinking about that this week in sort of my mess, right, I felt like I heard him saying to me, he's like, listen, this isn't a suggestion, Bill. When I tell you not to let your heart be troubled, it's not a suggestion. It's not like a polite, oh, maybe think about this. It's a command. Like, this is a command not to let your heart be troubled. And guess what, Bill? It's for your best. But it sounds impossible, doesn't it, right? When you're in the middle of the thing, whatever the stress is, whatever you're worried about, you're like, it's impossible to not think about that. But I think if Jesus commands us to do it, then it has to be possible, doesn't it? If God compels us to do something, if he's saying, listen, this is how it should be, then we should have the capability to do that. So it means that it's possible for us to overcome worry. It's possible for us to overcome fear. It's possible for us to overcome anxiety and doubt in a world that has a generous supply of uncertainty. More than 80 times in the Bible, God tells people not to be afraid. Now, if he said it once, maybe we'd get let off the hook, right? He says it 80 times. In fact, he says it so often that author Harold S. Kushner says that do not be afraid is actually the 11th commandment. And here's his quote. I think this is great. He says, I believe that God realizes how many things there are that frighten us, but he does not want us to live lives dominated by fear. Fearful people cannot be happy. Fearful people cannot be generous, charitable, or forgiving. Fear constricts the soul and keeps us from being as fully human as God would like us to be. And if you've ever suffered in the grips of fear, you know that this is a true statement. In my experience, this statement is accurate, because when I embrace fear, the things that tend to go out in the window are generosity, creativity, all of, like, the best things in my life are the things that seem to suffer when I embrace fear. When I focus on circumstances, it robs me of the joy that God has for me, and I become distracted to the point to where we can't even hear his voice, right? And then that makes it a situation where we're even unable to take a step for him, and that's not the place that we want to be, whether it's a large or small step. So we have this You've probably heard this quote before. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, sometimes pain, circumstances, things will knock us down in life, right? But the choice to stay down is ours. And that's, you know, what suffering is oftentimes is embracing that pain and staying there. So we can dwell on that. We can stay in that place. We can allow it to become suffering. Or we can get back up and we can move forward. We can overcome fear with the abundant life that Jesus promises us. And so, of course, the question is, how do I do that? Well, I want to quickly share three what I'm calling assurances. Three things that Scripture tells us, three things that God offers us that he says about himself that we should be clinging to, especially in difficult times. And so the first one is this. God assures us that nothing can separate us from his love. And I think for us as Christians, we've been hearing that our whole lives. That's a way bigger deal than we make it to be. The fact that we have a God who created us out of love, a God who reaches out to us, that love is the catalyst for that to happen. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But here's something interesting. Right before this passage, Paul, he says that we've been made more than conquerors. That's how he sets the statement up. And so, that includes conquering fear, right? Love is part of the key to conquering fear, that we've been made more than conquerors in Christ Jesus so that we can overcome things like fear in our life. But it all begins with God's love. We know he is love, Scripture says. We know that it's the complete makeup of his character and that he's so full of love that he generously shares it with all of us. His love cannot be earned. It just is. And it never fails us. So that's the first thing that we can be assured of, that God loves us and nothing can separate us from his love. The second thing that he assures us is that he will be with us. One of the worst parts about going through something difficult is feeling like you're alone or feeling like other people don't understand what you're going through. But what's interesting to me is that we have a God who does understand. Because Jesus faced everything that we will ever face in our lives, and probably even more than that. He understands every difficulty, and God promises that no matter what, no matter where, he will be with us. Joshua 1:9 says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Growing up, there were times where I felt like, you know, maybe there were certain places that I could go on this planet where God wouldn't be. And if you've ever read, like, Jonah's story, you know that that's impossible, right? Like, he runs from God. He actually goes the opposite direction of where God tells him to go. He ends up in this giant fish, like, all of these different places. But the moral, part of the moral of that story is you can't outrun God. Like, there's nowhere that you can go on this planet that he isn't, that his presence isn't. And so as a kid, I would think about those stories, and I'd think, well, I wonder if God sees me here. I wonder if God sees me here, right? Like all these places, thinking that there was some place I could go that he wouldn't see me. But the truth is, that's not possible. Psalm 23 says that even if we're facing down death, we can choose not to fear evil because God is with us and he comforts us. So no matter what you're going through today, God promises to be with you. And that's significant. The third thing he assures us is that he is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." And that's more or less symbolic for like a long time, like forever, like you're not going to be here and he will still be faithful. Adonai has always been and always will be. But here's the thing. When we think about the word faithfulness, we kind of think about it in the context of just somebody that'll be there. And we just talked about that, and that's important. But faithfulness, when it comes to God, means so much more than that. Faithfulness when it comes to God means truthful, that he's truthful. Numbers 23:19 says this, that God is not man that he should, or that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God is truthful. His faithfulness means that he can be trusted because he is truthful. Psalm 119:6 says that the sum of God's word is truth. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, right? The life that leads to the Father. That's in John 14:6. So part of God's faithfulness is the fact that he's truthful. You can count on the words that he says. Another part of God's faithfulness is that he's unchanging. And this is a hard one, I think, sometimes for us to wrap our minds around, because we're flip-floppy, right? Like, just listen to a politician being asked a hard question on TV, and then tune in a couple days later and listen to them be asked the same question by a different group of people, and the answer seems to be a little bit different, doesn't it? We, as people, our hearts are fickle, Scripture says. And what that means is that we often change our minds depending on our surroundings or our situation or who happens to be there. But God is not only truth, he is fixed, he is immovable, he is unchanging. He alone can see past, present, and future and knows how things will work out. He's the only one that knows what's just and what's not. Lamentations 3:22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And it doesn't mean great. I mean, it does mean that, but it also means great as in, like, it's so huge. We can't even get our minds around how his faithfulness impacts our lives and the planet and history and all of the things that we become a part of. And here's the thing, this is good news for me because I need that new mercy every morning. If you're married, you probably need that new mercy every morning too, okay? Right? We can be jerks. We can. We're human beings. We make mistakes. We often choose to be selfish. And so those new mercies that God promises, man, I'm grabbing a hold of as much as that I can get, right? I want it all because I need it. I need that forgiveness every day from God. And so he's unchanging and he's truthful. And those are parts of his faithfulness that are important. And then the last part is that he's trustworthy. When we're fearful, when we struggle to trust God, I think that it often has way more with us wanting to be in control of the situation that we're in. But that control, guys, is only an illusion, okay? We often feel helpless, or we feel powerless. And so what happens is that intensifies our fear. When we feel like we can't control a situation, the fear starts to rise. And so we will do all sorts of rational and irrational things to try and control the situation that we're in so that we can lessen that feeling. For example, how many of you people know who John Madden is? Raise your hand. Okay, most of the gamers probably know, right? Like, he was coach for the Oakland Raiders. He's pretty famous. He was also a commentator, but he's like a football guy. Like, he has a monstrous football mind, and you're like, I don't care about that. Well, that's not really even the point of the story. Here's the point of the story. He was deathly afraid of flying on airplanes. Like, that was a major thing for him. And so when he started to be one of the guys that would do Monday Night Football, one of the requirements in his contract was that he would have a bus that he could take different places so that he would never have to fly on a plane. I don't know the whole story, but I do believe it has something to do with the team taking a plane somewhere and some bad things going down. But here's the thing. Whenever there's an airplane accident, right, or something like that happens, and there's a significant loss of life, what ends up happening is you have all these people in the world who were going to fly a plane, but instead they decide to get in cars and drive to the place that they were going to go instead. Despite the fact that the chances of them actually being in a serious automobile accident are way higher than them being in an airplane accident. Statistically speaking, if you look at it, every time, your car's a death trap, man. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that the risk of danger from a car accident is way, way higher than anything that could happen in an airplane. But here's why we do that, okay? I'm not saying it's an irrational fear, but here's why we make that choice. Because when you're in an airplane, you don't feel like you have any control, do you, right? Like, you've got another person up there making all the decisions, and you're back here, and if you're flying on my budget, you're like at the very back, right? You're in the situation where you don't feel like you have any control and you are as close to helpless as you can be in an emergency. You have virtually no control over what happens, but in your mind you're thinking, you know what, in my own car, I have control. I'm an excellent driver. Everything will be fine. You can be the best driver in the world, but some yahoo out there maybe isn't, right? And that can cause an accident. But the difference is this. You feel like, in your car at least, you have some measure of being in control. And so when we do choose to surrender to God, guys, it's because we finally realize the truth of the situation. And here's what it is. You ready? He's already in charge. He's already in charge. And we're either with him or we're not. So really, the fear of living for God, this fear of living that we're talking about today, is really the fear of relinquishing control to God. The measure of control that we imagine that we have on our lives. We worry that we have a God who won't understand our situation as well as we do. But in truth, he does. So all we have to do is look to Jesus, right? He experienced everything that we will ever experience as a part of humanity. We have a God that understands. So if that's something for you today, if you struggle to relinquish control to God in whatever situation happens to be going on in your life, or maybe it's multiple ones, one of the things that you can do is you can pray to him and ask him what the deal is. Like, what's the deal here, God? Why can't I trust you? What part of your nature either do I not understand, or what's making me feel that way? And I believe that he will answer that prayer. Like, God, why am I not trusting you? You can ask him to reveal any lies that you might be believing about his character. The book of Psalms is a great place to start in scripture if you really want to get like a deep dive into God's character. And what I really love about Psalms is some are really, really happy and like joyous, and some are really, really sad and depressing. And you're like, well, why would I want to read that? Like, the Psalms is like the complete picture of what human life is like. You've got highs, you've got lows, and all in the midst of that, you're trying to figure out how you fit into God's plan. It's worth a read. You can also pray those as well. But the other thing that you need to know if you're struggling to relinquish control in your life is that often the issue that you have with relinquishing control stems from a hurt in your past, or it stems from a damaged relationship that's given you an improper picture of God or shaped your response in times of fear. And I'll just tell myself here for just a second. One of the things that I will do when my wife and I engage in a healthy discussion is I will retreat, right? I'll whatever it is, like, well, fine, I'm just going to go, or like whatever the thing is. And that's a part of me that God is, he's still working on it. It's not solved or anything like that. But I know, right, just from the little bit of experience that I have, there's got to be something that's happened in my life that shaped that, right? And so for us as people, we have these responses in times of fear that are shaped by the experiences that we've had in our lives. And again, avoiding the pain, right? We had some painful situation. We don't want to have that again. And so maybe we disengage from a situation. Of course, another thing that you can do is Oaks of Righteousness, which is already in session right now, but it'll come around again. And I encourage you to check that out if you want a picture of who God really is, but not only that, how he can work through these things like this. You're like, maybe you should take that class. Maybe I should. There you go. So back to the verse. I'm almost done with this part. Back to the verse that I shared at the beginning. John 14:27. Oh, wait. We have a couple Psalms. Did I miss those? Oh, I did. These are great. This is about God being trustworthy. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Well, I need that one. And then Psalm 111:7. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All of his precepts are sure. Again, if we struggle to trust God, if we're fearful, it often has more to do with us wanting control. And so God assures us that he's trustworthy in the situation. So now, back to John 14:27. Again, Jesus says, hey, I leave peace with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So here's what I want you to notice about this, and this is why I keep coming back to this verse. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, whether it's digital or whether it's paper, you need to do that because you need to come back to this all the time. This is a go-to verse for you and me. Notice, when Jesus gives us this command, and he commands us not to be troubled and not to be afraid, where does the peace come from? What does it say? It comes from him, doesn't it? Jesus is the one that gives the peace. He doesn't say, don't be troubled and don't be afraid and just muster up some peace in this situation. No, he's like, listen, I've got peace for you more than you can handle, so you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to let your heart be troubled. And likewise, when he commands us to not let our hearts be troubled or fearful, everything that we just talked about as far as God's nature is everything that we need to be able to do that. In other words, everything that we need to accomplish this is found in God and not in us. We don't have to make this happen. We can look to the fact that nothing can separate us from God's love, that he will be with us and that he is faithful, truthful, unchanging, and trustworthy. We can look to those things, and that's where we find the power to confront fear. Our ability to confront fear comes from God's character, not our ability. That's good, right? There's a world full of people that are out there trying to do that on their own. They're trying to overcome these things. And I'm not saying that that's not possible. There are lots of ways to overcome things. But I'm saying that if we want to confront fear in the way that Jesus wants to, if we want to have the peace that he promises us, if we want to be able to walk out into a world of uncertainty and have some certainty, we can be certain in these things. We can be certain in the fact that our ability to confront fear comes from God and not from us. Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And growing up, when I've read this verse in the past, I've always read it with kind of this tone, like, don't be a know-it-all. Just trust God. Don't think you know everything. Just trust God. Like, that's how I've read this. Don't think that you're smarter than God. And listen, that's not bad advice. But another way that we could read this is this, that when it comes to times of fear, trust God and don't worry about your limitations because he has it covered. You don't have to lean into your own understanding, especially when it falls short, because mine does all the time because of the fact that we have a God who's all of these things that we've been talking about. So we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean. Listen, God's not telling us to be idiots or critical thinkers or any of that stuff. What he's saying is, I have a proven track record of faithfulness. This is something that you can trust, especially in the times when you don't have the answers. What if we truly believed that God was with us and giving us strength at all times, guys? How would you like walk into the world like you're walking into Starbucks and like, God is with me? He's giving me strength to say no to pumpkin spice. Or whatever it is, right? What if we walked through this world believing that God was giving us strength and that he was with us at all times? We would be unstoppable. Like whatever it was, no matter what the challenge was, as people of God, knowing that he was with us, we would be able to face it and we would be able to overcome it. Can you imagine what God could do through us if we were able to overcome our fears and truly live? Those are the kind of people that other people want to be around. Facing your fears and surrendering to God will not lead to easier things, but it will always lead to better things, guys. Facing your fears and surrendering to God will not lead to easier things, but it will always lead to better things. Amen. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I felt like with this message and talking about confronting fears, one of the ways that God often challenges us to confront fears is to step out and do something in ministry. And we have a couple of folks from DC who have done just that. And frankly, have probably stepped out in many other ways in their lives. And so I thought it'd be really cool today to take this opportunity at the end to kind of give you a live in-person object lesson with a couple of our friends. So I would like to welcome Brenda Pryor and Bernardo Pena to come up. You can give them a hand. We have a... And listen, this step right here might be like the big step for them, you know? It is. We've talked about this already. So here, Brenda, is a chair for you. And I've got your little microphone here. You may have to pass that back and forth. She turned it towards Bernardo, you notice.
She has the floor.
So it's been a while since we've done something like this. But Bernardo and Brenda, I keep wanting to follow that with Evelyn because that's what I usually say. So I'm going to have to work really hard. So Bernardo and Brenda, or Brenda and Bernardo, recently they both gone on mission trips and to different places, right?
Yes.
And so I thought we could ask them just a couple of questions about that trip, but also in the context of facing our fears, because if you've ever been on a missions trip, you're facing some fears, right?
Amen.
To some degree. So maybe we should start off with Brenda, if you want to go first. Tell us where you went on your missions trip.
Yes, I went to Quito, Ecuador.
You'll probably have to pass this. There we go.
I went to Quito, Ecuador after training in Florida and then went on to the Galapagos Islands.
I went to Colombia, South America, to the Amazon River.
All right, and hold on to that. So tell me, Bernardo, what fears did you have to overcome to say yes to God as far as this trip was concerned?
The first one was fear of flying. After an MRI that went kind of bad, I was afraid of getting into any metal tube. So to me, you know, like an airplane is a metal tube. So I had to overcome that big time.
Okay. What about you, Brenda?
You know, this was my 10th mission trip, and I still had the same things to overcome, which were being out of my comfort zone, not having any control. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been on a public bus in Peru, you know you have no control. And also just fear of, will I have enough time for what I need to do this summer, giving up, you know, a month of my life to say yes to this.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. Like, I mean, we don't often vocalize that, but time is one of the big factors. When we're saying yes to God, that's one of the worries we have, isn't it? It's like, oh man, if I do this, what am I not going to get to do, kind of. Well, that's good. Thank you for sharing that. So what ways were you, Brenda, challenged on the trip? Like, were there any things that surprised you? And maybe there's, I mean, you know, we only have limited time, so, but are there a couple things you could share with us that were ways that God challenged you on the trip?
Yes. The first one was when I was in Florida, I got a call from my daughter, Paige, and she said, we're going to the emergency room. And my heart's sinking just now, remembering how that felt. And she said she'd had a panic attack all day. It wasn't ending. And somebody suggested to her she needed to go to the emergency room. And so anyway, it turns out through a bunch of testing, it was her gallbladder. And they had to do surgery that night. And that was really hard.
Yeah, to not be able to be there.
To not be there. So.
And do you have another one you want to share?
Oh, I have a zillion. But when I first got to Quito, that day and that night, I was really, really, really sick. And I remember just, I'll be real. We're about being real here, right? Mm-hmm. I just was in bed, just bawling my guts out. It was horrible, throwing up. Just, I was in excruciating pain. And that was really hard. And at that point, I was like, really, Lord? My daughter, emergency, you know, mm-hmm. surgery, and now sick. Yep, those were a couple of things.
Okay. Well, you want to, sorry, on that one. What happened with that? Like, how did God come through in that situation?
So cool. You know, if I had been home, my daughter would not have been blessed by some of the people who came forward because mm-hmm. I would have been there helping with her children, you know, for those weeks following when she couldn't even lift her nursing baby. And so I think that was a really cool thing that God did. And being sick, well, you know, it was amazing. He gave me the strength to go out the next day, and we walked so many miles and a whole lot of it uphill. It was craziness. We went to the largest basilica in South America and climbed up all these crazy stairs with just mesh, like wire mesh under you and nothing else. I don't even know how high we were, but it was a crazy experience of trusting God and letting Him work. And, you know, another one I want to share, Bill, mm-hmm. is there was a time when I was... in a situation where there was a drama that they performed, the kids and some of the adults performed, and then the gospel shared through people sharing their testimony, and then we would go out and talk with people. And actually before that, we did a lot of drawing the crowd, and I would face paint kids and do that sort of thing to help bring a crowd. But I saw these people around me, and I just was really acutely aware of them. And after the message, I was like, okay, God, I have to get up and share. I have to do this. I mean, here are these people who've heard the word, and there's no one available, no extra translators to help share this. So I got out my little cheat sheet card, and it kind of walks you through some of the basics of trying to talk them through this. And the final question was, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And they said, yes, yes. And so then I'm like, God, what do I do now? I don't know enough Spanish to lead them in a prayer that's not on my paper, you know? And so I looked around for, I went to turn to find a translator, and they said, no, no, because I said, un momento, no, no. They didn't want me to leave. And can I share what happened?
Yes,
please. Oh, it was so powerful. It was so, so, so cool. But I'm telling you what, that was one of the scariest, hardest things that I did on that trip. And somehow God helped me to know that this young man, who was maybe 20, sitting on the top of these bleachers, I just had this sense that he knew Christ. And through my limited Spanish, makes me want to cry, God helped me to communicate with him. And just, yes, he did know Christ. He knew zero English, zero. I mean, not even hello. And so somehow God helped me communicate with him. Could you come down and lead them in a prayer of salvation? And he was there just in the park that day selling juice from his little bitty cart. I do have a picture, Josh. I don't know if you have that handy. No, I don't have that one. I'm sorry. That was another story. So he had this little juice cart, and he just stopped to see what we were doing. And so he came down. He led them in a salvation prayer, and then he preached to them for a while. I recognized the word sin, and they recognized the word holy, and so I was like, bits and pieces, but wow.
That's cool.
When you think God, you know, you're in a dead-end situation, God opens that door.
Well, how about you, Bernardo? That's really amazing. And facing a fear like that, and then the result of it is pretty incredible. So what ways were you challenged on the trip, and like, where did you see God come through in those things?
Yes, I was challenged. For the most part, the trip was very nice, very easy. You know, everything was easy. Everything was planned very good. But I did come across a lady that wanted prayer for healing. And she, when I went into her house, I could just feel the presence, presence of evil in there. That's what you can feel when your hair stand up on end, you know. You're going to feel that your whole body is on fire, you know. And that was a challenge, and I'm grateful for Oaks of Righteousness, because before then, I wouldn't have had the weapons. You know, we call them tools, you know, but it's weapons. You know, we have a defensive shield, but we need to attack the enemy with, you know, defend and then attack, you know, with all you got. So that was a challenge, you know.
That's good.
So powerful that... I mean, I can tell you the story later because it's a long one, but God came through when she asked me, are you a healer? And I said, no, but my God is.
No, that's good. That's really good, yeah. No. That's awesome. And so I just have a couple more questions for you guys. I know that anytime, at least for me, and maybe it's been different for you guys, but anytime there's some big thing that God asks you to do, like a missions trip or stepping out in faith, or like even the situation where he's sort of, you're out there on the front line, a lot of times there's a lot of small things that have led up to that moment, or moments that you've faced fears or things that have happened in your life. I was wondering if you'd be willing, you know, you don't have to, but if you'd be willing just to share to encourage people, maybe something that God brought you through, or a time, one of the small things, or maybe not small things in your life that you had to overcome to maybe be able to go on a missions trip or to be brave enough to take that step and trust God.
For me, it's obedience. I mean, you can read all you want. You can read volumes about, you know, trying to understand the will of God and all that. But if God is putting in your heart and in your mind to do something, I mean, you don't have to go overseas, you know, because God said to go and preach the gospel, which is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Liberty, Missouri is part of the world, mm-hmm. you know. Your neighborhood is part of the world. And so be obedient to that small, still voice, you know. And you don't need to understand everything about God. You know, you just need to obey Him.
That's good.
I mean, I need to obey Him a lot of the times, and it's pretty hard sometimes because it's, you know, we're human, we are fearful, you know. So, but just know that God has grace for you, for all of us. You know, He's not going to leave you stranded if you take your time in obeying Him. So He's very, very patient.
That's good.
You know, and he loves us infinitely.
That's good. Thank you. How about you, Brenda?
You know, it's a long journey, Bill. And it started, you know, with accepting Christ and making a determination that going to church every week is a priority. No matter what, we're in another country, in another state on vacation, going to church is a priority. And getting in the Word every day is a priority. And talking to Him about what's going on in my heart is a priority. So doing all those things, laying all that groundwork of obedience, then I think had me so much more receptive, like the ground was more fertile mm-hmm. to hear God speak to me. And I remember very vividly, it's probably been about 12 years ago or something, I remember where I was and what was going on, like it was yesterday, when God spoke something to me and asked me to do something that seemed so, that was so counterintuitive. I was like, are you kidding me? And He asked me to tell someone, God bless you. And I'm like, oh, really, Lord? You know, that's such a trite, overused thing. People don't, you know, I had all kinds of resistance, but I went out of that situation, got in my car and went, okay, was that me? No. You know how I feel about that. Was that the enemy? Would He ever want me to bless someone? And so that was God. And so I got back out of my car and I went and obeyed. And that was the beginning of a most incredible, I just got, woo, waves of Holy Spirit. Incredible adventures God has taken on me on since that time of that obedience.
So. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Well, this has been Coffee Talk with Bernardo and Brenda. Thank you guys so much for being here today. Yeah, please.
So there was a question that you forgot to ask about the rewards. What is the? How has God rewarded you? Well,
it's all good, man.
So in one trip, we went to Haiti, and God rewarded us with beautiful Layla. Mm-hmm. So, you know, guys. Practice obedience.
That's good.
You know, give up the gold in your life and store the treasure in heaven.
That's good.
Because literally, I had to do that for that trip. I had a gold coin that I needed to sell to be able to go on that missions trip. Mm-hmm. And through the help of a lot of the people here at the time in the church and me selling that gold, you know what gold symbolizes, you know, the love of money and no trust in God. And when you give that up, Layla is here.
That's very good.
What a blessing. Mm-hmm. What a great reward from the Lord. Jesus, we love you. Mm-hmm.
It's very good. Would you guys bow your hearts with me today? I have zero to add to that. You should have just preached, man. It would have been great. God, we love you so much. And I'm just thankful for my friends here and their obedience, God, and just the testimony that it is to your love and your faithfulness and your kindness and the concern that you not only have for us, but for all of the other people in this world that you can use us to reach in ways maybe that we will never, ever know, God. So thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy. And God, I pray that for all of us that are here in this room who may be facing really, really difficult challenges in our life, whether it's been before, whether it's right now, or whether it's something in the future, I pray that we would hold on to the truth of who you are, that we would all cling to these assurances that you've given us, that you love us, that you're going to be with us, and that you are faithful. And God, we also claim those assurances for this church too. We know you have plans for this place. We know that there are things that you want to do with us in this community and that you've already started those things, God. So bring people to this place that need to know you in a real way. And I pray that we would be ready, that we would have your welcoming heart to bring them in, God, and show them your love. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Revolutionary.